So Anna DeVlantis, minding her own business, happens to be interviewing the treasurer of Cook County, Maria Pappas, treasurer of Cook County for many, many years. And Maria Pappas mentions out of the blue that it's wrong that Target come to Michigan Avenue. John Williams has been talking about that topic. Now I will too, but I want to broaden it out and talk about Michigan Avenue in general, talk about downtown, which includes, I suppose, West Loop and State Street as well. And the perfect person to do that, Kimberly Bears, president, CEO of the North Michigan Avenue Association. Kimberly, are you exhausted and sick and tired of hearing a name I won't even repeat?
Hi, Steve. No, I wouldn't say that at all. I mean, I think anytime people have a passion for our district and our magnificent mile, I think that's a good sign. So I appreciate that it's top of mind for many people.
Well, I want to talk about lots of issues regarding Michigan Avenue. And the first is that Target issue. Now, I am on Michigan Avenue a lot. I've been on Michigan mm-hmm. Avenue a lot for well over 20 years, you know, spending either working down, always working down here, actually, you know, at the Tribune Tower, right? Right on Michigan Avenue when WGN and when I was at the Tribune. So on Michigan Avenue a lot, and I seem to remember Filene's Basement. I seem to remember, until very recently, a Gap store. I mean, and I can go on and on. I'm not sure why Target, and what happens is you have these amazing upscale stores, but you want something for everyone, first of all, including people who live down here, I would think. But the other thing is there are people, I know people, we have a friend, for example, just one example from Mexico, and when she comes to Chicago to visit us, it's Costco and Target, because they do have Costco's where she lives in Mexico City, but apparently they don't have the same things that are available, and they don't have a Target. So she really wants those stores, and we are also talking about what tourists want when we talk about Michigan Avenue. I'll let you take it from there.
Well, I couldn't have done a better setup, Steve, so thank you. I completely agree, and we completely agree. The Michigan Avenue and that district functions as a whole. It is the sum of its parts, and it's not just world-class or luxury shopping. It's not just phenomenal five-star dining and and hotel rooms, et cetera. It's how everything comes together. And it's true. You do want an experience that everyone can enjoy at various price points. I mean, one thing that we've pointed out is that Tiffany & Co. used to be a McDonald's.
Yeah.
If you've been in Chicago long enough, you have seen Chicago's neighborhoods change over time. That is what happens. And we remember what used to be there. I mean, I spent a lot of time in Rogers Park. People still talk about the deli, Ashkenazi Deli.
I remember.
It's beloved. And time marches on. The district has changed. 100 years ago, it was a single dirt road called Pine Street. Nobody's around to remember that. But we did just celebrate the 100th anniversary of the DuSable Bridge. It was opened in the midst of a pandemic. Here we are celebrating the 100th anniversary now in the midst of a pandemic. You know, there is a certain evolution that we see. And what I said is a couple of things. One, this is a rumor. And when you're asking me if I'm exhausted, what does become a bit tedious is that anytime there is a rumor about something, people become, I would say, a little overly concerned about a rumor. Well, let's wait and see what's actually happening. Secondly, much of what happens on Michigan Avenue is by right. Unless a retailer or an operator needs a zoning variance or a liquor license or some other kind of permission, it is a by right lease.
I want to stop you there because I want to.
I don't know
what that means. So does that mean that the alderman really can't do anything about it? You really can't do anything about it. If the retailer owner of the property of Water Tower in this case says, "I want to rent it out too," that is their right to do it.
For the most part, of course there are those exceptions that I was talking about. If it's a special use, if it needs a liquor license, if it needs any kind of ingress or egress, that means parking or traffic considerations. Then, barring that, then yes, it is, if it's allowed in the zoning code, then it's allowed. So, you know, any demand that the CEO of said company contact any of us, it wouldn't happen. I mean, what I can say, though, is Brookfield is a terrific partner. They have a very good sense of what will work in that space. They have a good sense of what will work in the district. They're not going to be looking to fill that space with something that won't resonate with both the 110,000 residents that are there, that won't meet with the approval of Alderman Hopkins, and wouldn't fit with the district. They have a property tax bill of $16 million a year. They are invested.
Yes.
No question.
And by Brookfield,
they are invested.
And by Brookfield, just to clarify for people that don't know, you do not mean the zoo.
No, I do not mean the zoo. Correct. Brookfield Properties. It is the owner of Water Tower Place. And they're a national company. They're very smart. They're very attuned. Like I said, they're very attuned to the needs of the district and the building. They have they obviously have a lot at stake in making sure that they get this right.
All right. Now, right now, I am looking down on Michigan Avenue. I can from where we broadcast from. So I'm looking at Michigan Avenue. So I see a lot of things. I see a lot of green. People are wearing green, I'm talking about. And I'm seeing a lot of people, probably many of those anyway, have come to see the Chicago River turn in all new green. But I also see a police car just sitting there with its lights going around. I want to talk about all of that. Has traffic increased on Michigan Avenue? I want to talk about security on Michigan Avenue. And what I believe, frankly, and you'll know because you know this is your thing, I think there are some misconceptions through all of what's happened over the past couple of months. We will do that when we come back on WGN. Steve Dale's Other World on WGN. Do you feel comfortable coming down to Michigan Avenue? Uncomfortable? Why is that the case? Either which way? Let us know. 312-981-7200. You can text or you can call 312-981-7200. Talking with Kimberly Bears, president and CEO of the North Michigan Avenue, I think the greater North Michigan Avenue Association. Kimberly, so I said, I'm looking out the window now, and one thing I see is a police car kind of just sitting there with its lights going around. And if I could see further down the street, I'd probably see some other cars doing the same thing. That's been the protocol since the, and I will use this word, riots occurred. Do you think, give feeling a better feeling of security or the reverse of that?
We've had that in place, you're right, since the summer, since August. And I think what we're saying is that opinion is split on whether people certainly like the additional enhanced police presence. The blue lights, that's where people are split. And in fact, we're having conversations. We do have regular conversations with the 1st and 18th district commanders, and we have a terrific partnership. I should correct you. We're the Magnificent Mile Association. That's been our name for the last 10 years. And we have a terrific partnership with the two resident groups in the neighborhood, Streeterville Organization of Active Residents, SOAR, and River North Residents Association, and we talk regularly and compare notes and meet with the two commanders both individually and then as a trio, and that's a conversation that we continue to have. I do predict that we will continue to have the police presence, but no longer have those blue flashing lights as more and more people come down. Now, one thing that you asked about for people to call in, do you feel comfortable or uncomfortable coming to Michigan Avenue? What we know instinctively is that the more people that are present, and very specifically when women and children are present, a place is experienced as safe. It is perceived to be safe. And not having people on the avenue throughout the pandemic has certainly made it feel strange. I know you mentioned that you've been working down on Michigan Avenue this whole time. Of course, we've been in our office periodically, and it has certainly felt a bit like the rapture happened.
Yeah.
No one told us. It's been very different. But I can say happily, I've been on Michigan Avenue now the last 3 weekends, and the numbers have picked up dramatically. My daughter and I were down there yesterday. I went down yesterday morning, left her in bed, went down yesterday morning to see the river getting dyed, and that was fantastic. What a nice lift that was to see that happen. And then she and I went down later in the afternoon. We went to see the Friends Experience. It's just opened at the Shops at Northbridge, or will open to the public on Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
And she and I were both surprised that we were experiencing traffic. And I said to her, it's a good problem to have. And I do know that our pedestrian counts are up. The last 2 weeks, we saw just over 50,000 people a week. And before that, it was 20,000 people a week for the 2 weeks prior to that. So that's a 250% increase.
How many stores?
The numbers show that people are coming back.
How many stores are open? What is the percent of stores that are empty? Because you hear these numbers that I believe are exaggerated just by looking in the windows as I walk down the street. But again, you are the one who knows.
Sure. I mean, we've tracked somewhere about 25 to 30 stores that have closed. That's the result of the pandemic. You were talking about the protests and the damage done over the summer. That has not been what has forced the closure of these stores. It's been the ongoing impact of the pandemic. So somewhere between 25 and 30 stores. We have on Michigan Avenue, now this is a little bit different metric, so I'm mixing apples and oranges, and I'm going to say that out, you know, at the outset of this.
Mm-hmm.
On Michigan Avenue alone, we have 1,000 business licenses. In our district, we have 10,000 business licenses. So it's a huge, you know, the density can be stated in terms of those numbers. We have some businesses that have, as they've closed their doors, it certainly has had an impact. That impact has rippled throughout the region. And that's why I think you have people that are concerned about Michigan Avenue. Macy's leaving 170,000 square feet over 8 floors. That's a big footprint. That's what we're talking about for the Target has been rumored to be interested in. They've been rumored to be interested in a lot of, a number of properties along the avenue. But
is this footprint much different than, say, New York City or Baltimore, Pittsburgh, Los Angeles? It doesn't matter. You name the city, really because of the pandemic. Have mm-hmm. other, we may not be aware of it because no one's traveling now, but are cities experiencing the same things?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I've got colleagues across the globe, Fifth Avenue in New York, in LA, in Texas. I mean, any of those major markets, yes, you are seeing the results of the pandemic. And then I think, Steve, you take it to our neighborhood level. You live in Chicago. I live in Chicago. It doesn't matter if you're in a Chicago neighborhood, if you're in Aurora, Naperville, you know, you name it. We are all seeing the results of the pandemic in our neighborhood stores. Some are leaving and they will never come back. And the Restaurant Association, the Illinois Restaurant Association, called this 6 or 9 months ago. And they said, you know, at least a quarter and maybe more of restaurants in Chicago would not reopen. Unfortunately, that is the case. And that's the case for the stores that we've known and loved. And then I think, you know, if we can, talk about the impact of online retail.
Right. I was just going to ask you about mm-hmm. that, actually, because there was something that was happening anyway. The pandemic sped it up, I believe. But that is exactly where you're going.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. I mean, the pandemic certainly sped it up because we weren't allowed to go and shop. Our stores were closed unless you needed something that was deemed essential, groceries, tools, the stores were closed. And then when they opened back up, we were told to stay home, and a whole lot of us did. We were, I think, quite, you know, happily quite compliant. But you can't not stop at these stores and expect that they're going to emerge unscathed. And we all need things, even if we are at home. And what did we do? We turned to Amazon and other online sellers. The good news there is that even for Amazon, it cost them more to operate as a business online than it would in a brick and mortar store. And that's frankly why you're seeing these online retailers go into brick and mortar stores. And what I do think we'll see, you know, as I put my prognosticator hat on,
yes,
I look at my crystal ball, we're going to see more of, you know, we've talked about this absolute division between online sales and brick and mortar sales. That line is blurring, and we're seeing clicks and bricks. You're seeing Amazon open with their Amazon Go stores. Warby Parker was an online retailer of eyewear. They now have brick and mortar stores across the country. More and more brick and mortar retailers are learning how to sell online and doing it very effectively. We had curbside pickup. We have virtual appointments. You can make an appointment to come into the store individually now. The ability to have on-time, accurate inventory, all of that has improved dramatically.
So the most important question is the future, tomorrow, and the day after for Michigan Avenue. We want it all. I think we're all rooting for it to be back where it was. How do we get there?
Well, the first thing I think is getting those conventions back. As much as we all as Chicagoans and through the region love Michigan Avenue, Michigan Avenue and the Loop can't survive on just the city of Chicago, very frankly. The city of Chicago in 2018, I believe, welcomed 58 million people. 58 million people visited Chicago. And you were talking about the friend of yours that comes from Mexico. China, mm-hmm. Mexico, and
sure.
Canada are the three top countries from which those tourists come. And then, you know, when you think about the impact of the business traveler conventions, from March 2020 through January of this year, 187 events were canceled. They were expected to generate $1.6 billion in spending. Tourism statewide is a $43 billion industry. We've had leadership from the Illinois House and the Illinois Senate. On the Senate side, State Senator Sarah Feigenholz, and on the House side, State Rep Lamont Robinson, both leading tourism and hospitality committees. And just last week at Senator Feigenholz's committee meeting, State Comptroller Susana Mendoza provided testimony about the hotel tax. Mm-hmm. Hotel tax in 2019 was $250 million to the state. Now, $250 million, half of that goes to the state, half goes to the city. Guess what it was in 2020?
I don't know.
$29 million.
Mm.
58 million. 58 million. So 29 going to the city, 29 going to the state. Just a precipitous drop in all of that. So we've got to have a sensible roadmap plan for reopening for conventions. And the other piece that we're really pushing on is increasing capacity at museums and attractions. For some unknown reason, while restaurants and bars and other industries have been allowed to increase capacity to 50%, museums and attractions are still capped at 25%. So, you know, going to the beginning of our conversation, talking about what makes this district so unique, it is that combination of dining and attractions, museums, culture institutions, those boulevards, the tulips, the landscaping, all of that comes together to make this really magical place.
So,
if our museums and attractions are kept at 25%, I mean, they are turning people away. 360 Chicago is open. They are sold out first thing in the morning every morning.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. We were talking earlier in the show about the immersive Van Gogh exhibit, and they are mm-hmm. sold out. People, I think, are desperate for this sort of thing.
Right.
We're just out of time, Kimberly.
Oh, no.
I know. Can we stay in touch and keep up with what's going on? Because you know.
Absolutely.
All right. Kimberly Behrs, thank you so much for joining us.